How can there be one way?
How can there only be one way to heaven?
How can there be only one?
There's one way to heaven.
Always.
Such a loaded question.
Because if you believe in it, then you believe in the dogma, and you believe in that way.
If there's only one way, then nobody's going to get in there.
Christians, for sure, feel that without accepting Christ that you can't get to heaven.
Well, if you believe in that, then chances are you probably do believe that there's only one way, and that's through paying your tithing. So just pay your tithing and you'll go there. I mean, there's many, many ways, and all you do is choose that way.
Christians are about 1/5 of the world's population. That means 4/5 of the world's population is going out the tubes.
The Christian way is probably the best way, not the only way.
Personally, I would believe that the way to heaven would be through happiness, you know. Happiness on earth. That would be my heaven. Wouldn't that be yours?
There's something that I won't know until I'm there, so it's questions that will be answered later on in life.
I believe God accepts each one of us on our own levels. You know, and for what we know.
I personally believe that you should do everything you can to be a good person, and what I think being a good person is to do the best you can not to hurt other people.
Heaven is a good place where good people go to get to meet God. It's like a spirit.
And I know all about the things at God. May you always be happy. Up in heaven.
There's probably other real religious scholars that don't believe in just one way. You know, true scholars. Happiness is it. Happiness is heaven.
When you die, when you go to heaven, your heaven is with your family and your friends.
Unless happiness means like killing people. I'm happy. You're dead. So, you know, that's not it, for sure.
There are fewer things that get people riled up than to suggest that there's only one way to go to heaven. In the world we live in, it gets people angry. It reeks of arrogance, even for us sometimes. We think, oh, that just seems so arrogant. You ever felt that way? I mean, you know what Jesus said. You kind of know kind of what the answer is, but you still feel inside just a little bit of angst when you want to share that with somebody that there's really only one way to get to heaven. People get really upset really quickly. I had a conversation on Wednesday, I think, down in Provo when we were doing the Freedom Festival. I was sitting at a table handing out flyers, and a gentleman came up and talked to me. He's from a different country, and he travels a lot, and we had about an hour and a half conversation. And in the conversation, I was asking, I'm just kind of prodding him along, talk with him about what we're doing and about Jesus and listening to what he believed. And his philosophy was, you know, well, I'm very open-minded. I'm not argumentative. I like to listen to what other people think. And that's good, and that's fine, and that seems really noble. And I take a little science, what I know about what science tells us and what about this religion tells us and this one. I kind of put them all together, and I kind of have my own thought on heaven. And I asked him about Jesus. And he kind of smirked. Well, you know, I don't want to put anybody down, but, and he went off and told me about his philosophy again. And there's just a little bit of indignation I sense. It's kind of like, yeah, I know what you guys believe, that you're the only way. That is so arrogant. That is so not grown up. That is so immature. Why don't you become smart and wise and realize that there's no way. There can be only one way. You know, I think a couple things. You know, I think people like to just think that we could all just get along. Can't we all just get along? Can't we all just believe? I mean, you believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want, and let's just get along. It's more important that we don't argue about it. It's not, you know, all roads lead to heaven as long as you're really nice in your heart and you just follow. If you really, really believe what you believe, then let's just let it go. And not, let's not claim exclusivity. Let's not just say there's just one way. Let's not say that. That kind of messes things up. And Christians, I think, there's a couple things. I think that the world is confused, and I think Christians are intimidated to say what the Bible says, because we don't have a good, solid answer. What would you say? I watched a clip from Oprah. Oprah was challenged by a bunch of Christian women in her audience on this clip. It's a great clip. They weren't able to show it. I was going to show it to you. But they said, you know, she's talking about there's got to be many ways. She had this panel of people, and this Christian lady stepped up and said, you know what? Really, there's only one way. It's through Jesus Christ. And Oprah got indignant. What? Are you kidding me? There can't be one way, Oprah kept saying. There can't be. There's hundreds, thousands of ways to get to heaven. What would you say to Oprah on TV when millions of people are watching? These Christian ladies did a pretty good job of defending themselves. Tonight we're going to talk about that. I think we have a couple problems when we start tackling this issue. I think the first problem is that we live in a really postmodern culture where truth is relevant. If it makes you happy, I would go back to that clip and I'd say to that guy, my heaven is to be happy, and if it makes me happy to kill you, then I can kill you. And we laugh at that, but I say, you know, why not? When truth becomes relative, we can just talk about this. When truth becomes relative, then why not? Who am I to say, if it makes you happy to kill me, then you can't kill me? Who am I to say that? Honestly. Who am I to tell you what your truth is? If that's your truth, and that's what postmodernism does. Truth is relative. There are no absolute truths that dictate anything. And that's the culture we live in. The only absolute truth is that there's no absolute truth. And you better accept everybody except those that claim absolute truth. We can disdain those guys. And they do. The other problem is that we live in a consumer mentality, don't we? We live in a consumerism society where the idea that there's just one way to do anything is absurd, un-American, unpatriotic, socialist, and, you know, Russian or whatever. You know, you can't, that's not right to have only one way, one style of jeans that you can wear, just one. One partner for your whole life. That just, we can't comprehend that. One style of iPod case, only one. You can only have black. Okay? Only one band that you could listen to. I mean, it's outrageous, the thought of that. How could that possibly be? We would never put up with that. We have rights to have choice of school and jobs that we want. We have choices of rights. Don't you understand that? So for us to stand up and say there's one way to heaven is about as absurd and as argumentative as you could get. Is there only one way to heaven? It's pretty controversial. Here's what, just back to this consumerism idea, just think about this for a second. We have Starbucks coffee. You know, you watch the old movies and they go in and they order, you know, when they go into the cafe, what do they order? Coffee. You want that with caramel sauce, or you want that with this, or with that? No, it's just coffee. And they didn't even ask if they want a cream, they just brought them a cup of black coffee. Today, that's right, that's the way. Some people are still living in the past. Just living in the past, like it black. But Starbucks now, you go to Starbucks, and do you realize how many choices you have when you go to Starbucks? I've calculated this out. 19,000 different choices, combinations of coffees. So much so they had to write a book on how to order Starbucks coffee. They actually wrote a book to help you order. Because there's 19,000 different choices of coffee. Again, the idea that there's just one way to heaven and there's 19,000 ways to have Starbucks. You know, we're in uphill fight here, aren't we? To make this argument. I'm going to make this argument for you tonight. I got some good help, though. Ravi Zacharias says this. Philosophically, in our society, you can believe anything you want as long as you don't claim it to be the truth. Morally, you can practice anything you want as long as you don't claim that it is a better way. And religiously, you can follow anything at all you want as long as you don't bring Jesus Christ into it. I want to tell you something. He's absolutely right. He is absolutely right. This is the culture we live in. What's the truth? How many ways are there to heaven? What's the truth on this? And how do we defend that? If somebody said, you can't really think, and you don't mean to tell me that there's only one way to heaven, explain that to me, Christian. If you were to stand up here tonight and you were going to explain that to me, how can you tell me that those people in Africa that never heard about Jesus, or those people that live by their standards and are moral and love people and do all these good things, or those babies that have never heard about Jesus, you're going to tell me that they're going to go to hell? They have to name the name of Jesus? How could that can't even be right. How do you defend that? Let's talk about that. John 8 says, then you'll know the truth, or Jesus said it in John chapter 8, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're going to look at the truth about heaven tonight. What is the truth about this question? Is there one way to heaven, or are there more? But first, a Bible quiz. First, a Bible quiz. Answer me this. What do you think was the reason Jesus was born? To testify to what? Why did Jesus come to this earth? What was he talking about? What was he teaching? What did he come for? Anybody got any ideas? Truth. What? Do what we could. What's that? To fulfill the law? That's good. Show sees the only way? Yeah. What? Himself. Testify about himself. Well, somebody at the very beginning got it. And I'm going to show that to you again. Jesus answered, you are right. He's talking to Pontius Pilate here. And he said this, you are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world. That's a pretty strong statement. Jesus said, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. That's why I came. That's the reason I'm born, Jesus said. He said that to Pilate. That's the reason I'm born. That's the reason I'm here. I am only here to testify to the truth. And we need to talk about truth. After he said that, he continued on. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. You're on the side of truth, you'll listen to Jesus. Then we got our first postmodern person, Pontius Pilate, who answered him. Well, what is truth? It may be true to you, Jesus, but that doesn't mean it's true to me. It may be true for some people, but it doesn't make it true for me. That's a postmodern answer right there, Pontius Pilate gave Jesus. It's relative. Truth is relative. That's your truth. That doesn't make it my truth. But Jesus said, I came to testify to the truth. It's important. It's critical. This is why I was born. Here, we need to talk about truth just for a little bit here. Truth, you have to understand, is exclusive. Because of the society we live in, because of the postmodern effects that we've had, we need to talk about truth. Truth is exclusive, and truth must stand up to scrutiny. Something can't be true and untrue. Okay? Something cannot be true and untrue. The fact that I'm standing on this stage tonight is true. Just because you would look at me and say, well, I don't think he's really standing there, that doesn't make it untrue. Well, it's true for Bill. He thinks he's standing there. No, the truth is exclusive. It either is true or it is not true. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is so critical that we get this. It's exclusive. It can't be true for some people, but not true for others. I am here. I'm wearing a white shirt. There are video cameras back here. It's true. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. You see what I'm saying? Truth is exclusive. But we have a problem with truth. George Barna, the director of the Barna Group, does all these polls that we all hear about. He said this, Americans today are in tragic shape when it comes to ultimate truth. And we are. The effect of postmodernism. Truth is relative. Don't tell me you have absolute truth. Don't tell me Jesus is the only way. That's the response we'll get. I love this quote. Some of these things I've shared, I've kind of compiled some things, so there's so many good things here. Jane Fonda was on a show years ago, And the host of the show, his name is Dick Cavett. Some of you guys have no idea who he is. Some of you do. Dick Cavett asked her a question, and they were talking, and it's kind of funny. Jane Fonda was on with the Archbishop of Canterbury on the same show. It's kind of a weird thing. At one point, the Archbishop of Canterbury made a comment. He said, "You know, Mr. Cavett, that Jesus Christ is Lord." He said that to Dick Cavett. And Jane Fonda kind of interjected, and she said, "Well, maybe he is for you, but he isn't for me." To which the Archbishop shot back, "Well, either he is or he isn't." And see how he shot down her postmodern question, saying truth is exclusive. It needs to undergo scrutiny. There's true or it's not. Listen, either Jesus is Lord of everything or he's not. There's no halfway point. He either is or he isn't. And just because you or Jane Fonda say that he's not, if he is, that doesn't make him not. See what I'm saying? Truth is truth. Dorothy Sayer has a great quote, one of my favorite. She said this, "We believe everything is okay as long as you don't hurt anyone. This is the society we live in." And she paints a great picture. "To the best of your definition of hurt, again, if it makes me happy to kill you, then I'm going to kill you." That's what our society thinks. Our best definition of hurt. "And to the best of your knowledge, we believe Jesus was a good man, just like Buddha, Muhammad, and ourselves. He was a good moral teacher, although we think many of his good morals were actually bad. We believe that all religions are basically the same, at least the ones we've read about. They all believe in love and goodness. The only things they differ on are matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, salvation, and meaning of life. We believe that each person must find the truth that is right for him." That's postmodernism. The truth that is right for him. "Reality will adapt accordingly. The universe will adjust." That's the book, The Secret. The universe will adjust around you. "We believe that there is no absolute truth except the absolute truth, that there is no absolute truth." Again, that's so good. Another quote, "We believe something," listen, you and I, as Christians, "we believe something because it is true, not to make it true." We believe it because it is true, not to make it true. I say it's true, therefore it's true. We believe things that are true, not to make them true. And this is important. When you're talking with somebody about this issue, understand respect. We can respect one another, even though we don't agree with one another. Respect does not require 100% agreement. You guys agree with that? Good. Definition for tolerance is the capacity for or the practice of recognizing and respecting the beliefs and practices of others. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do is disagree with someone. You can respect them and you can tolerate them, but you don't have to agree with them. Just because you don't agree doesn't mean you're being disrespectful. Okay? Well, what would you think if somebody, you're having dinner, and somebody, your neighbor, who you don't know real well, all of a sudden had a sledgehammer and pounded down your front door, ran up to you, grabbed you by the neck of the shirt, drug you outside, and threw you down on your front lawn. You might be going, "Man, that, you know, I wouldn't call that respectful. I don't think that's super respectful." But what if they've been trying to get your attention for the last 3 or 4 minutes because they see you're upstairs as ablaze, your whole house is on fire, ready to cave in on you? You may not agree with this idea that they came in and grabbed your shirt and threw you on the lawn, but once you understand, listen, there's a reason for it. The most loving thing they could do would be do something disagreeable to save your life. And sometimes the most loving thing we could do is to confront somebody and say, "You know what, I don't agree with that. Here's what I believe. Here's what I believe." As Christians, I think we're timid to do that. Here's the second truth that we want to look at tonight. Truth about major world religions. Okay, because this is the conversation you'll get into with people, won't you? Is there more than one way? Well, wait a minute. What about all these all these people that are believing things other than I believe, the Eastern philosophies and all these other religions. We got to understand this about probably 99% of those other religions. Probably 99% of other religions outside the circle of historic Christian faith believe this. They believe that good works will get you to heaven. And they don't apologize for that, by the way. They state it plainly. They're proud of it. And it's in their doctrine. That good works will get you to heaven. Just the opposite of what Steele was talking about. That's the truth about other world religions. And you need to understand that. Do they have good things in their religions? Yes. But understand this. The basic premise of how one gets to heaven is completely different than what you and I believe from the Bible. They believe that it takes good works to get to heaven. We believe our good works are simply a reflection of the faith that we placed in Jesus Christ. Our good works do not get us to heaven, according to the Scriptures, Ephesians 2:8-9, and Titus. We don't get to heaven by our good works, but most of the world thinks they're going to get to heaven, whether it's Buddhism or Taoism, Islam, Judaism, Confucianism, Shintoism, whatever it is, they all believe it's your good works that get you to heaven or not. Good quote by Michael Green says this: "Perhaps the greatest difference of all among religious views lies in the Christian assertion that none of us can save ourselves and make ourselves acceptable to God, try as we may. All the other faiths assert that by keeping their teachings..." I'm losing my monitor up here. It's going in and out. Let me get my quotes out here. It's kind of flickering on and off. And I'm going to read from here, because you can read it. "Try as they may, all other faiths assert that by keeping their teachings, a person will be saved, fulfilled, or reborn." And that's true. That's absolutely true of most religions that are not Christian, of the Christian faith. That's what they believe. Let's continue on here. I don't know what we have. Most religions, you got to understand, are this: that most religions, apart from Christianity, are impersonal. They are religious works. They require observances, rituals, regulations. And the kicker is that there's no assurance in most of these religions. There's no assurance that when you have done a certain amount of works that you're going to get to heaven anyway. And to me, that's the kicker, isn't it? How much is enough? If you talk to anyone who has a value in their religious belief that, hey, if I work hard enough, I'll get to heaven, you simply have to ask, well, how much is enough? Is there a point where you work really hard and all of a sudden, ding, a bell goes off and you know you're in? At what point do you know you're going there? At what point is good enough? That's a great question to ask somebody, because in any work system, you don't know. Even if it's spelled out really clearly, you don't know if you've done your best. And they fall short. There's no warmth of relationship. There's anxiety of rules. Most religions, not just cults, but most religions flatly contradict one another in crucial matters. You need to know this about world religions. We can think, oh, they're all the same. On the surface, there may be some commonality, but if you go deeper, and you don't have to go real deep, you'll find out that with the doctrines of heaven and hell and salvation and grace, the very nature of God, we differ eternally with those religions. And they differ with one another. They're not the same. People would say, oh, they're all roads that kind of lead to one. I mean, just the one thing I think about is the nature of God. Who is God? Ask somebody in a religion, who is God to you? Do you believe in more than one God? Well, then we have a problem. Do you believe you can become God? Then we have a really big problem. A lot of religions believe that. We don't. You see, there's a problem there. We're not all the same, are we? Even on the very basics, the nature of God, who this God is, we can't agree on that. Yet we think, oh, they're all leading to the same place. How absurd. How ridiculous. R.C. Sproul said it this way: a thinking person will quickly see that they, all world religions, cannot possibly be all true in what they claim. They can be all wrong, but they cannot possibly be all right, because we differ on everything that's important. And that's important for you to know. All roads don't lead to heaven. All roads don't lead to heaven. You need to understand that. It's absurd to say that. It's just as absurd to say, well, I'm going to pick up the phone and I'm going to dial any number randomly and expect that I'm going to get my wife on the phone. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. Here's another truth that we need to look at tonight. Truth about Jesus' claims. We looked at the fact that truth is exclusive because we need to, because of the culture we live in. We looked at the truth about major religions. They're not all the same. As happy of a thought as that makes us, they're not. Now we got to look at Jesus' claims. We're going to talk about, is there only one way? Here's the deal. Jesus claimed to be the only way. And that's where we have to land. That's where you can't be ashamed. That's where we have to come down on. You need to be able to defend that. This isn't just your idea, by the way. This isn't my idea that we're going to get on the Oprah show and say, Oprah, I believe there's just one way to heaven. I just came up with this. I was thinking about it. I figured there's just one way. So now I have to defend myself in front of millions of people. No. What I say is, well, Jesus claimed that he's the only way. If you got a problem with that, you got to take it up with him. So I'm just telling you what he told me, and I happen to believe him. Because he died and rose from the dead, therefore he has authority to tell me things like this. And if your leader has died and risen from the dead, maybe you should believe him. I believe him. And he said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Boy, is that narrow, is that exclusive? Is that arrogance? Well, yeah, it is. But when you're God, you can be narrow and you can be arrogant. You can be exclusive. And we simply share with what people with what Jesus said. And the fact that he raised from the dead, and not just the Bible says it, but we have extra biblical writings, we have history, we have eyewitness accounts. This guy rose from the dead. The grave's empty. And he was among us and spoke. After he rose from the dead, he has authority to say, I'm the way and the truth and the life. Any knucklehead can say it, but not everybody can rise from the dead and do the miracles that he did, can you? He also said this, John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, talking to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. If I ever say that to you, then you should lock me up and put me in an insane asylum. Even if you die, if you believe in me, you'll live. Lock me away. Jesus said it. He said it. Even if you die and you believe in me, you'll live. It's through me. It's through me and only me. He also said this. If you do not, he's talking to the Jews. He said, if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Listen, there's a penalty for not believing what I'm saying, in other words. I'm not just saying idle words. If you don't believe me, you're going to die in your sin, and you're going to go to hell forever. Again, I didn't say it. Jesus did, though. This is his claim. And understand this, that claim is counterculture. It was counterculture back then. It is counterculture even more so today. He got stoned for saying, he got threatened to be stoned because he said it. They hung him on a cross because he said it. Jesus didn't get crucified for doing anything wrong. He got crucified for what he said. This. I am God. I am the gate. I am the truth. I am the way. Nobody comes to God the Father except through me. And they killed him for it. And it's counterculture. Listen, there are many, many great teachers of other religions. And we can respect them all. We can tolerate them all. But we don't have to agree with them all. And it's not wrong, and it's not disrespectful to say, you know, that's your teaching. I don't agree with it. Confucius had everybody had other sources. You see, they all pointed to something else. Confucius didn't point to himself. He pointed to ethics and learning, higher knowledge. That's who Confucius pointed to. He didn't say, come to me. Muhammad pointed to the Quran. Buddha pointed to enlightenment. Matter of fact, I've researched this a little bit. On his deathbed, supposedly, I can't completely verify this, but Buddha said, don't follow me on his deathbed. Don't follow me. Work out your own salvation diligently. See, he wasn't saying, I'm the way and the truth and the life. Come through me. He said, don't follow me. Go figure it out yourself. Buddha. Great leader, great teacher. Jesus, on the other hand, was counterculture. He said, it is through me, it is through me. Another great quote, C.S. Lewis, says this, there is no halfway house. Listen to this, this is great. And there is no parallel in other religions. If you had gone to Buddha and asked him, are you the son of Brahma? He would have said, my son, you are still in the veil of illusion. If you had gone to Socrates and asked, are you Zeus? He would have laughed at you. If you had gone to Muhammad and asked, are you Allah? He would have first rent his clothes and then cut off your head. Do you see the difference between Jesus and all these other great leaders? Leaders of world religions. You see where Jesus is different? Jesus said, listen, if you don't believe I'm who I say I am, you're going to die in your sins. He said, if you don't believe that I'm the way and the truth and the life, you're not going to get to the Father. You've got to come through me. You've got to come through me. I'm the way and the truth and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. You'll live even though you die if you believe in me. Muhammad didn't say that. Buddha didn't say that. Confucius didn't say that. They pointed to other things. Jesus pointed to himself. And we're simply sharing with people what Jesus said, and we believe that he is the truth, that he was born to tell the truth. Jesus pointed to himself. Even his followers later would say the same thing. In Acts chapter 4, his followers, Peter in the 11th, said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name, the name of Jesus, under heaven, given to man by which we must be saved. No other name given to man. The name of Jesus. This is what Jesus' followers taught and what we believe. They believed it. Jesus told them this was true and they taught it. And they passed it on to us that there is no other way. Oh, but I don't like that. It doesn't matter if you like it. And all those other people, you know, they're so nice and they do their... It doesn't matter. There's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. It's through Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, another good verse, says this, therefore God exalted him, Jesus, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue in heaven and earth and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That to the name of Jesus. Now what about those who have never heard? We don't have time to elaborate on this. What about those who have never heard? What about babies that die in infancy or miscarried or aborted? What about retarded people, children, that have obviously the mind that they could never understand or utter the name? What about people that can't speak or can't utter the name Jesus? Listen, there's one answer that I use and I believe in has helped me. And it's this. I don't know. The Bible is not explicit on those issues. I don't know exactly, specifically what's going to happen, but I do know this one thing. My God is a good God, and He desires that none perish. You guys believe that? Do you believe God is good? Do you believe God is so good that He crushed His only Son so that you can get into heaven? He has done everything possible to make it open for people. He is not an ogre in heaven that says, oh, your mind isn't good enough to say the name Jesus. Go to hell. You believe that's the kind of God we have? Oh, you were aborted. You can't come into heaven because you didn't claim the name of Jesus. We have a God and we understand His character, don't we? He is loving and He is just and He is fair. And at no point ever in the future will you and I stand before this holy, loving God and point our finger and say, God, what you did wasn't fair. Those words will never come out of our mouths. We'll say, oh God, you are holy and just, and everything you do is right and fair. And I didn't understand it back on earth, but I understand it now. You are fair and just and loving. And we know that about His character today, so we can take solace in that, can't we? We have a merciful, loving God that has done everything in His power to open the gates of heaven. Sent His only Son to die a bloody death so that we could go. Oh, that's the God we serve. And that gives me hope. I don't have specific answers, but I do know God is after people. He's after the hearts of men and women. And he will preach his gospel to the ends of the earth before he comes back. I know that. Somehow people will hear about it. Somehow people will hear about it. Again, it stands against the entire world and human history. This idea that Jesus is the only way. But it's what he claimed. C.S. Lewis said this, "People often say about him, about Jesus, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher." The friend I was talking to in Provo, he would have said this, "He's a great moral teacher," and he kind of snickered at me like, "You Christians, I know, he's a great moral teacher, but he's not the only way." That's what people say often. "I'm ready to accept him as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God." That is one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. Think about that for a second. He claimed to be God. How can he be a great moral teacher if he's lying all over the place? If he's not God, then why was he telling everybody he was God? He's a liar. I don't want to be taught by a liar. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You got to make a choice. Continues on, "You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. He's either God or he's not. I don't care what Oprah says. I don't care what Jane Fonda says. I agree with the Archbishop of Canterbury. Either he is or he isn't. Make your choice. Is he for you? Have you accepted it as truth or not?" Number four, truth about heaven. How many roads are there to heaven? I still fool you, don't I? Even though some of you have heard this before. No, there are two roads to heaven. Let me explain real quick, okay? Two roads. Here's choice number one. I'm going to go quick through this. You must be perfect to get there. Never sin. James 2:10, yet whoever keeps the whole law and stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. You got to be perfect. You got to get a 4.0. No B++++'s. That ruins your 4-point. None of us are that good anyway. You got to be perfect. You can never have sinned, never have lied, never stolen, never had a lustful thought, never had a bad thought, never gotten angry at someone. If you ever did any of those, then you're toast. Then you're hosed. Then you're going to hell. You missed it. You missed the road. But if you're perfect, you have nothing to worry about. Okay? So that's good and bad news, isn't it? Good news is you can get there by being perfect. Bad news is none of you are perfect. You ain't going to make it that way. Got to be perfect. We can think that Eastern, well, we're not going to do that. Here's the second road. You must be humble. Got to be humble. Got to be humble and come empty-handed. The only way you can take the second road is to humbly come before Jesus and say, "I believe that you are who you say you are. I believe that I am who you say I am. I am a sinner. I've sinned before you. I've done those things. And you are God. You are the Lord. And I come empty-handed. And I believe, like it says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God, that includes me. I have sinned against you." You need to be able to say that to God. You've got to understand that heaven is a free gift. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin, what you earn, is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. And you see, most religions in the world, as we've looked at, are man reaching up to God with their good works, saying, "God, look what I've done to earn my way to heaven." Christianity stands alone and is unique. And stop the mouth of my friend I was talking to in Provo when I said, "Listen, I want to tell you something. Just before you go here, I know you've studied a lot of religions, but you got to understand one thing about Christianity that makes it stand out, that makes it unique, and that is this, that all other religions so you can get to heaven by working really hard and being good and paying your tithe and doing everything." He looked at me and said, and then they go to heaven. I said, "That's right. by doing all that stuff. I said, and I had him, and he was looking right at me at that point. I said, Christianity's different. You sin once, you go to hell. And he was like, but, you see, God paid the price, so you wouldn't have to. All other religions say you got to work your way up. I say, good works don't count in Christianity. Not to get you to heaven. Because you've blown it, you've sinned, we've all sinned. You see, that's what makes Christianity different. We have an advocate who paid the price for us. That's what makes Christianity unique, you see. That's why it's the only way. We have someone who paid the price for us. And you got to come humble. You don't come humble, you're not going to make it. John 6:37 says this, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Jesus is not interested in driving people away. I want all men to be saved, come to knowledge of the truth. That's what Jesus says. So, you got to be perfect or you got to come humble. You got to come humble and say, Jesus, I need what you can offer me. You paid the death penalty so I wouldn't have to. And now you offer it to me as a free gift, I take it. And then you're in, you see. That's too simple for some people. Oh, you got to do something, Bill. You got to work for it. That's just too easy. Yes. Yes, it is. Is it going to be so easy and too easy for you that you're going to end up in hell saying that's too easy? That was just too easy and you're going to end up in hell saying that? For the rest of eternity going, but it was too easy. And you missed it? Some people will. They're going to go, you mean that was it? And I blew it? I missed it? I was too proud to say, oh, I'll accept that. I'll take that. The truth about Jesus, He is the only way. That is the truth. Either He is or He isn't. He claimed it. Either He's true or He's not true. I happen to believe He's true. And like He said, to recap, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. So tonight, let me ask you this question. In our postmodern, multiple choice world, who is Jesus to you? Is he some good teacher? Some person that just kind of came down this earth and kind of did some things and hung around some people for a while and was killed? And, you know, he's probably a real person, but you know what? Who is he to you? Or is he the Lord? The only way to God. And if you're struggling with this, I'm just going to end on this. If you're struggling with this and you're thinking, yeah, but it seems so arrogant. I just can't get past that. I can't get over that hurdle. It's so arrogant. I have a hard time thinking there's only one way. There has to be more. What about those people who haven't heard? I still don't understand that. And all these questions I have. Let me just share this with you. You will not be held accountable for the person in Africa who has never heard about Jesus. You will not be held accountable. You will be held accountable for what you heard tonight, though. Sometimes it's a dangerous thing to come to church. Because you will be held. You have no excuse, my friend. You have no excuse. None. Not one. Now, I might even go far as to say that guy in Africa, he might have an excuse. He may have an argument before God. He may be able to stand before God and say, God, I never heard. And I know God will deal with him justly. You have no such excuse. You who sit here tonight and have heard the truth about Jesus Christ, and that He is the only way, and He paved the way for you. You need to make a decision. Who is Jesus to you? Are you going to make Him your? Are you going to accept Him as Lord of all, which is who He is? Are you going to walk out going, I'm going to basically reject that? You can have eternal life tonight. Humble yourself. You can have it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for tonight. I just want to thank You, God, that you know, in one sense, You didn't have to provide salvation for anybody, for me or for anybody else. You were not obligated to do anything like that. We sinned against the Holy God, and we deserve judgment, yet You did create one way. You did create one way, and I thank You for that. You did it. You didn't have to, but You did. Oh, we are the ones who are arrogant, saying there must be a million ways to get to heaven. There doesn't need to be one way. You are not obliged to provide one way. Yet You did, and You made it clear, and the whole world is being told about it. And everyone here tonight certainly has been told that Jesus Christ is the door to get to heaven because He paid the price for our sins. Lord, there's people here who haven't come to that relationship with you yet. I just pray that you would humble their hearts right now. They would understand they've sinned against you. And if that's you tonight, I just want to encourage you. You can pray something like this. You can tell God. God's listening. You tell God, God, I've sinned against you. That's a fine thing to tell God. He knows it anyway. In your heart, just say, God, I have sinned against you. I've broken your commands. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve your just punishment, which is hell. I deserve it. Yet, Jesus, the free gift of God is eternal life. You paid the price. You mean you paid for all my sins? Yes. Jesus, thank you for doing that. The best way I know how, I want to reach out to you right now and receive that gift of eternal life. And God, I don't understand it completely, and I'm going to get help. I'm going to try to find out what this all means, but I want to take it right now and say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you. I humbly come before you, and I believe that you are the Lord. You're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you paid for my sins. I want to receive that gift of eternal life right now, tonight. In Jesus' name.